The year is coming to an end, so I want to just do something. I want to share a series just for a few days. For the next 3 days, we're just going to pray and study. We're going to pray and study, all right? We're going to study and pray, and I wanted to share what I call them, praying to change the seasons. All right, that's personal season, not the season outside, but your own personal season. The prayer so as to change your seasons. I don't know how to put it easily. So that's what I want to teach on, and we'll pray. And it's because the year is ending. You know, oftentimes people get to the beginning of a new year. There's this magical day, 31st of December. We'll call it what? Crossover. Uh-huh. All right. Sorry to disappoint you. There's nothing magical about that day. Amen? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. All right? It's just a change in calendar. And I'm not saying that things, seasons can change, all right? They do change, and they can change in a day. Are you getting my point? Yes, it can happen. Can a nation be born in one day? The Bible was saying, it said, before Zion traveled, she brought forth. People used to say that, look, you have to travel and bring. No, he said before. That is, before they went into birth pangs, the child was out, all right? So it can happen that things change overnight. But there's no way of making sure it's the 31st. So people often focus so much on a new year is coming, therefore, things should be different for me. And it's an assumption. It sounds nice, but it's purely what? An assumption. Do you understand my point? The Lord didn't promise it, and it's good to go to church to pray. It's good to go to church to celebrate, you know, to watch fireworks. Do you understand? Yeah, it's very nice. Very nice fireworks. Fireworks display. It's very nice. It's good to go to church to sing and pray. And that one is always good. Whether you do it on the 1st, whether you do it on the 31st of December, or on the 15th of January, on the 28th of August, or even if you don't do it on the 32nd of of March, once it is praise and thanksgiving, it's always good. Are you getting my point? If you do it at night, or you take the whole morning to do it, it's always good. So you can never say anything negative about that. But what I just don't want is for people to have too much hope, all right, in the fact that the year is changing, therefore, the things must change. And oftentimes we see, of course, most churches do it. We declare a year of this, a year of that, a year of this, and there are always years of positive things, which again, listen, don't get me wrong, I'm not critical of it. It's very good. It's good for people's minds to be lifted, for their hopes to be, you know, raised up. It's good for somebody to be upward looking. What I'm just trying to say is that, see, different people have different seasons in life. Do you understand that? Yeah, we have different seasons. And the change of our seasons are not tied to the change of the year. And interestingly enough, the school calendar doesn't recognize the change of year. They change their own calendar usually around September. Do you follow my point? So if you're first year this year, January next year, you won't get into second year. It won't say because the year has changed, now I'm in year two. Are you getting my point? Your age does not change because the year changed. Your age changes when your own birthday, you know, comes, all right? And very few of us were born on January 1st. If you're born January 1st, can I see your hand? If you're born January at all, let me see your hand. Okay, one person. All right, so we have one person and Bishop pointing at somebody else, all right? I can't see the person he's pointing at. But the point is that, I mean, some of us were born in April, some were born in July, different days of the year. Are you getting my point? And that's when your age changes. So there's nothing magical about January 1st. Are you getting my point? Now, seasons in life change for different reasons. And that's what I'm talking about, praying to change seasons. All right? Because there are two ways to look at it. There are seasons that change because God says, this is the season. That's one. And he has set times like that. Again, there are seasons that change because finally you allowed God to change the season. That is, you've been in this particular season for certain reasons. And until you accomplish the reason or fulfill or change the reason why you're in that season is not going to change. So I'm just using the opportunity, all right, because the year is coming to an end and people often put their hopes on the fact that next year will be better. Do you follow? People often put their hopes on it. I'm just using the opportunity because of that, to teach briefly on how we are supposed to pray so that our seasons can change. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? Yes, that is the opportunity. Let's not just look at it and say, oh, next year will be better. And I ask people all the time, why? Why should it be better? Because you attended a crossover service? No. That's not good enough. I've been in church before, and you know, because the church I was in, that they had a nightclub close by. And I still remember, 11-something, one guy came perched beside me. And they were doing everything. We were praying, giving thanks. And they were pray. The man, they said, Happy New Year. The guy just sneaked out of the church and went back into where the boogie was going on. He went back into the, you know, the reveling, the drinking, the womanizing, the partying. But it mustn't be heard that he entered the new year and he was not in church. And I looked as the guy left. I said, oh, foolish Galatians. That was what was in my mind. That this is the foolishness of the Galatians. Somebody has bewitched you. You actually think that because you are in church, when the year changed, your life is going to change. Like somebody said, just because you go to church does not make you a Christian. Just like being in a poultry does not make you a chicken. Being in a garage does not make you a car. So the fact that you're in church when the year changed does not mean your season is going to change. There are laws, all right, that control that, the change of seasons. And I want to read a few scriptures just to start that, all right? One of the ones I like to use so much in this area, the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Let me just start from verse 1, even though where I'm going is verse 5. It says, comfort, O comfort my people, says the Lord. How do you comfort them? By speaking kindly to Jerusalem. He said, and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hands double for all her sins. He said in verse 3, a voice is calling. Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Please notice that. A voice is shouting, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Please, I need to lay some emphasis as I'm reading on. Notice verse 1 says, comfort my people, the Lord was saying. And this is how you comfort the people. You will speak. It's what you say to Jerusalem that contains the comfort that she needs. And these are the words. Tell her that her warfare has ended. In Christ Jesus, your warfare has ended. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
And that is a matter of fact. Let me explain it again. I've said it again and again. People talk about generational curses, and they are not lying. The problem where they make the mistake is when they don't realize the solution to those generational curses. Are you getting my point? Listen, people have things they inherit. There are problems that people are born into. That's a matter of fact. But I said to us some time ago when I was teaching that they came to the Lord Jesus and said, who sinned that this man should be born blind? And Jesus said, it doesn't matter. How does it matter? As long as this man encounters me, that story is irrelevant. They said, was it him or was it his parents? Jesus said, what difference does it make? Just watch it. I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. I mean, he did some things, put clay on the man's eyes. The man went and washed, and he came back seeing. So he turned to the disciples. I'm adding my own words to it now. So what difference does it make now? Who sinned? It will have made a difference if we'll have to get that person to confess and repent. It will have made a difference if that man had to confess the sin of the fathers. It will have made a difference for us to know the genesis of this. He did not say this sin didn't come from sin. He just said, what difference does it make? That's what he was saying. He said, is it him or his parents? He said, none of the above. What he was saying is that if the man encounters me, the story is irrelevant of where he began from. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain?
Yes, sir.
Do you follow what I'm trying to explain there?
Yes.
So he said, in effect, he that believes in me has passed out of darkness, all right, death into life. That's a matter of fact. So it's irrelevant where you started from. That's why, as far as God is concerned, the so-called disadvantages of people's lives don't mean anything. Because the day they encounter him, it will be inconsequential. Are you getting my point? That is why God is not so interested in making sure everybody comes from the same kind of background, the same kind of experience. What difference does it make? Whichever different background you come from, no matter how different it is, the day you meet me, all of you are coming to the same level. You came from a very nice and sweet background. The day you meet me, you must count all those things as dung. Do you follow my point? If you want to gain Christ, if you came from a very useless background, thank God you already know it is dung. When you come, you will still encounter me and you will gain Christ because you know those things are useless. So what difference does it make? So he says, speak kindly to Jerusalem. Say to her that her warfare has ended. Please notice that. So that's what I mean. I said, in Christ Jesus, your warfare has ended. That is all the troubles they have what? They have ended. All the troubles have ended. He said, now, look at verse 3. Even though her sin has been paid for, he said she had received of the Lord's hands double for all her sins. That is, the sin has been accomplished. That is, in payment. He said, a voice is called in verse 3. Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Notice, the warfare has ended. But the Lord has not, it doesn't seem to be manifested yet. So the voice is calling. Even though your warfare has ended, verse 3 says, you must clear a way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. The consequence, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Please notice what I'm trying to bring up from here. You know, it's almost as if it's my pet project now, because that's my, you know, I have pet projects at different seasons. My new one now is to let Christians know that they are not cursed, that they don't need deliverance. Are you getting my point? I need to get you to understand that. He said, your warfare has ended. Amen. Jesus has paid every... You see, they say, you know, I told you once, some people were saying that if a woman is having marriage problems, that you see that your sister is divorced, your mother, your father kicked out of the house after 15 years of marriage, your auntie is divorced, it is because, now I've heard this, if you go and check the lineage, your great-grandfather was a slave trader and he used to break homes. If you go and check the lineage, what it means is that your grandmother, your great-grandfather took your great-grandmother from another man who was happily married because he had money. And the other family placed a curse upon him. So it is playing now out in the life of his daughters. This night, your deliverance has come. It's a waste of time. I've heard it before. Pastor Bunker, you see those things don't occur? They used to occur until you gave your life to Christ. That's what I'm saying. They used to occur. That was the issue until you gave your life to Christ. I make bold to say it again. If any man and woman be in Christ, that person is a new creature. All things are passed away. I know his great-great-grandfather was a juju priest and he murdered the whole village one night. And that's why his father, and I'm not lying about it, that's why his father never did well in life 3 generations after. Because indeed God brings to bear the iniquity of the fathers on the sons unto the 4th generation. But there's a problem. The moment that bearing of iniquity hits the Lord Jesus Christ, it stops. Because John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, that takes away all the sins of the great grandfathers, the great grandmothers, all the murders and the adulteries and the human sacrifices and all the iniquities that they committed. Behold the Lamb of God that takes them all away. I believe it. I believe it. I said, I believe it. Amen. Listen, you will read it in my book. Should I say yes? I said it again. If you want to prosper in life, there are statements you must not ever make if you're a man. And a woman too. But I'm talking about men because I heard men say it. He said, if a girl is from a broken home, don't marry her. Because if you utter that, the poverty of your father is your own. You know the reason. Because the reason why you ever thought you can come out of a background of poverty and walk into wealth is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. True of us? So who's told you that that same Jesus Christ cannot make this young woman become new? Do you get my point? Who told you that that same Jesus Christ cannot make this young woman become new? I said there are statements you make and you are denying your own faith. You get what I'm saying? There are statements you make and what are you doing? You're denying your faith. What am I saying? This is my pet project, to let Christians know that you are redeemed. You are redeemed. Say, Pastor Banky, but you know, I have done 3 businesses and they have collapsed. And they said it is because of a curse. The Bible says it's not true. That's what I'm talking about this evening. He says it's not true. He said your welfare is what? Is ended. That there's something else. You need to clear the way for the Lord in your wilderness. Do you follow my point? There is something else. And that is what? To clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. And that's what I want to explain. That there is something that is still keeping the glory of God to be from being manifested, which is different from that curse you claim or people told you is disturbing you. Let me just say to you clearly again. Some of the people who keep on propagating this, there are 2 problems they have. One is ignorance. One is they want your money. Some really don't know. Some, that's the business they do. I don't know what I'm saying. Some don't know. Some, that is the only business they do. That's why the church is full. And listen, if you have problems in life as a Christian, because I said we're talking about praying to change seasons, right? The first thing, because that's what I have in my note, we have 3 days on it. So this is the first day. We just look at that. The first thing, if I ask yourself, am I truly a believer or I'm not? It's an important question. Is it that I just go to church? I was reading this story. If you buy this week's Newswatch, Bishop Oyedepo's story is the whole of the thing you find in Newswatch, all right, today. So, it was talking about that recently met a woman that explained, he traveled abroad and met the woman that explained the gospel to him when he was a child. Of course, she'd be a very old woman now, but that was the person that explained the gospel to him and explained to him that, listen, because he was born literally in church. His mother went for an early morning prayer meeting. She went into labor and delivered there. So the fact that you were born in church does not make you a Christian. The fact that your mother is very active in church and you've been following her to church, and your mother is a very strong Anglican, you've been following her to church all your life, that's your grandmother, does not make you a Christian. It's only if indeed you have given your life to Christ and you have a personal relationship with him. So that's when, as a small boy, he gave his life to Christ. He met the woman finally after how many decades again? Sometime this year. So sometimes that's the first question people must ask. When we're declaring like this, you are saying to people, indeed, are you a believer or you just go to church? Are you getting my point? That's number one. That's number one. Very important question. Because if the answer to that is yes, let me declare to you again. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. The blood of Jesus indeed was shed and it has wiped away all the afflictions that you inherited. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is a matter of fact. Then the second thing, which like I said, we have 3 days. Let's just look at this one briefly. I'm going to start with that, all right? We are going to pray. That's a prayer. You review your life. What did I say? Now, let me just talk freely. Let me, because I don't have all the time. There's a reason why people are in seasons. Every season has a purpose. Let me say this to you straight. If you personally have not changed in recent years, there's no reason why your season should change. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
If you haven't changed, there's no reason on earth why your season should change. A story comes to my mind. I don't know why, but maybe it will help somebody. I was in a hospital once. I was working. And we employed a new driver. Now, I used to work at night and on weekends, so I wasn't there most of the day. So a lot of times, I come back and I hear gist of what happened during the day. Listen to this. And the young man, one day, of course, the agreement was you work from a certain time to maybe 5 p.m. And he had nowhere else to go, so after 5, he hung around the clinic. So one day, somebody was rushed in and I think a person died. So they wanted to move the body to the general hospital mortuary. That's in Ikeja. And because he was still around, MD just said, okay, he was the ambulance driver. Are you getting my point? The MD said, okay, take the key and, all right, go, drive. And the guy reminded the MD that it's past 5. I don't know whether I got my point. He told the MD that it's past 5. And I'm supposed to close at 5. I think it was that evening or next day I came and the gist was on. And he was telling me, that he is very straight, very principled. That I was looking at him. The MD didn't say anything. They talked and I think they persuaded him to do it that day. Next time something like that happened again, he explained to them that the time that he's working has passed. So the MD sacked him on the spot. And I know I'm not going to take this. I mean, he just sacked the boy there. What's wrong with you? If your time of working has passed, leave the premises. You understand my point? Yeah, we know the time has passed, but look, we have an emergency at hand and you are present. Now, let me just make a long story short. The following week, they got another driver. Obviously, that other boy arranged it. That one came, stole the bus and disappeared. I don't know why I remember this story. I just don't know why. That one showed up in the morning, reported for work. Then came back very early the next morning. I met the nurse on duty that he's supposed to take the bus for repairs. The clinic ambulance. I took it, drove away, and we never saw it again. Why did I tell that story? That first young man, I don't know where he is now, right? But I can bet a whole year's earning on it that unless he gave his life to Christ, he's very poor now as we are talking. I'm telling the story of 15 years ago. I can beat my chest to tell you that he has an attitude of poverty. The attitude of poverty is the one that says, after how much am I being paid? That is, they believe that I must always earn more than I'm working for. I don't know, get my point. The attitude of prosperity is that I must give more than I'm getting because I'm a giver. Only givers prosper. That giving story is true. The only problem that has been with the giving story is that people think that it's just offering basket giving. Offering basket giving is good, amen?
Amen.
But giving is beyond that. It's an attitude. What am I saying? It's an attitude. The point I'm making is this. Listen. If over the last 2 years, your attitude has not changed, ask yourself, why should my season change? Why should it change? Listen, it's not what you do outwardly that God uses to bless you. What you get outwardly is a reflection of where your spirit is and how your spirit is. I've quoted this story again and again, Joseph and Daniel. Pharaoh looked at Joseph. Can we find a one as wise and discreet as this one is? Seeing that in him dwells the spirit of the gods. It's the kind of spirit he had. Concerning Daniel, they said he had an extraordinary spirit. Listen, I want to talk about a review. Another year can pass. The story I learned, that was my first encounter with deep teaching. When Larry Adeboye came to teach in my church in Adoekiti, he titled that message Year by Year. What did I call it?
Year by Year.
Why was it Year by Year? He read from 1 Samuel. And that Hannah went with Elkanah to the temple year by year. And what happened to Hannah? Nothing. Her season did not change until she changed. He called that message year by year. Listen, I've not forgotten it. I'm telling you a story of that was around 1993. Larry Adeboye, that man can teach. He has one of the strongest teaching anointings I've ever seen. No relative of Adeboye or George Adeboye. Larry Adeboye, that's his name. He's somewhere in Osun State or Osun or Yoda Axis. I'm not very sure now where exactly. But the point I'm making is that he explained to us then. If I remember well, those were the times I began to make some commitments that I still talk about till today. He explained that, listen, it was when Anna made a commitment to God that a priest that God was going to reject, are you getting my point? was even able to tell her what God would do in her life. Because it wasn't about Eli, it was about the change that took place in Anna. Because before then, this was how he taught us then. And I've explained it here and there. You see it in my materials. You heard me say, because these are the foundations of the teachings I give today. Before then, Anango, they look like, God, why are you allowing Penina to deal with me like this? And God said, you see, you don't understand. My problem is not with Penina. It's with you. The day Hannah changed, her season changed. So he said to us, you can go to the temple year by year. Nothing will change until you change. When I talk about reviewing your life, there's something you have been praying to God for the last 4 years. Every January 1st, you went to one church 3 years ago, and they declared powerfully. And you said, Papa released today. I know it's not this year. That year passed. You went to another church. And another Papa declared heavily, 31st of December. Another year passed. Finally, you left all these old Papas alone. You looked for a young guy who seemed to have the anointing. That was how you entered into this year. It has come to an end again. And you're wondering, Pastor Banky, are you going to do crossover service? No. Usually, 31st of December, I'm going to see either my mother or my mother-in-law. And I don't, most 31st of December, don't be angry. I'm not in church. Most, I'm not saying all. Now, what am I trying to explain? So in case you are waiting for it, sorry to disappoint you. But you have enough prayers to solve all your problems. You've had it already. All those prophetic words, they are still working. Prophetic words like that, they don't get expiry date. You know how I know? They don't get NAFDAQ number. Once it doesn't have a NAFDAQ number, it doesn't have expiry date. Any day you do the thing necessary, it's reactivated. Do you get my point? That's why I say review. How was I thinking? And that's the most important thing. How I'm thinking. Talk about the issue of husband and wife. That's why, don't worry, it's because of you I wrote the book. Because sometimes, when you hear people talk, when they say the things they really believe, you know that God is not happy. There's a man, I won't mention his name, not if you know him personally anyway. One day I used to tell my wife, they said, this guy is not married. Why is he not married? Why is he not married? Jokingly, I said this like 10 years ago. I told my wife, the way he's thinking, God won't do him that disservice. I'm serious. I said, no, the way he's thinking, I've heard him talk. The way he thinks, God won't allow that. I said, he's too important to God. He will not allow it. Much, much later, people say, I told my wife, you know, I said this thing to you long ago. Why? Because I heard him talk. And I said, with this kind of thinking pattern, and for the kind of office you hold in the body of Christ, I said, God won't allow it. Sometime ago, I heard him say something else, which I said, okay, I told my wife, there is hope now. Because you see, except you change, your situation can't change. And that's the first prayer. We're going to pray in a short while, and we'll close it for the day. It's a review. How have I been thinking? If the reason why you were doing business or looking for work or doing 3 years ago is still the same today, listen, there is a problem. That's why God is not in agreement with it. Because he said here, he said, speak kindly to Jerusalem. Tell her our warfare is accomplished. That all the witches she was fighting, she has won. I don't know whether you hear what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
That all the curses he was praying against, he has won. Speak kindly to Jerusalem. Explain to her that her warfare is accomplished. All the enemies, you know, you hear me teach all the time. I hate this emphasis on enemies. The reason is because your warfare is accomplished. The enemies lost the battle long ago. Actually, they lost the battle before you were born. That loss became real in your life the day you gave your life to Christ. Are you getting my point? That's a matter of fact. But then, having said that, he now said, now, say to Jerusalem, make a way for the Lord in the wilderness. I don't have all the time to explain it, But the way is simple. We're talking about how people think. Their mindset. You know, in that book, I'll tell you about, you know, it comes to my mind all the time now when I'm teaching, because I work on it almost every day. I worked on it again today. All right? In that book, the book is in two sections. Should I say yes? Because the book is titled, Should I Say Yes? Choosing a mate and preparing for a great marriage, something like that. So the first half is on choosing a wife or a husband. The second one is, that's the second one that's on preparing for a great marriage. But how did I help people prepare for a great marriage? It's simple. I described the marriage of God to them. That's all. I just described it. You heard me last Saturday explaining some little tips. I said, for example, there are things, there's a way you don't talk to your husband. You shouldn't call your wife a name that is common that anybody else can call her. I was learning as I was writing. I was teaching. For example, now, I wrote today, when the Bible says, because there's a chapter on love your wife. How should a man love his wife? I said, first of all, he must love his wife before he loves her. What I mean is this. Before he shows how love outwardly, there must be love inside. Are you getting my point? So the next thing, how does the love get inside? I'm looking at an issue. There's a scripture that I used to pray. In fact, when I was writing, I said, I'll tell my wife, you see, this is what your problem is. That is, this is why I'm on your case every day. The Bible says, be exhilarated with her love at all times. I used that scripture to pray long ago, and I'm still drunk with it. So that is why I'm excited about my wife 12 years after I married. I'm bringing an issue here. What I kept on doing in the book is describing for people, this is what God said your wife should be like. This is what God said your husband would be like. This is what God calls unity. And I said, listen, you read through the scriptures, you hardly find a godly marriage in the Bible. It's very rare. So if you can't find the Bible, where will you find it? God looked and he could only talk about Adam and Eve, Abraham and Sarah, Christ and the church. The rest of it, he said, David, don't talk about David, please, not in this matter. Solomon, he said, which kind of embarrassment is this? Did I tell you to bring Solomon's matter into this discussion? Peter did not have it. You know that. Maybe afterwards he got it. I don't know. But when Jesus came, they said, you can't divorce your wife. You know, Peter done the plan. No, Peter was planning already. How do I know? The guy turned and said, if this is how it's supposed to be, John. It looks like maybe John wasn't married. He said, it is better not to marry. You see what I'm saying? I'm looking at an issue here. How was I trying to help the people of God prepare? It's not like, okay, oh, this is the kind of gown, this is how they buy it. When you're in the house, you put your room on this side. Make sure you smile like this from this side, but in the morning, afternoon, reserve the better smile. You know, all that one are plenty talk. The simple thing is, describe for people what God expects them to have. If they believe it, it will manifest in their lives. Are you getting my point? When they were sick, he said, take a serpent, a brass serpent, put it on a stick. Anybody that looks up will be healed. Are you getting the principle? Anything you gaze at, that's what I'm explaining, and you are transformed into that thing, it will manifest outwardly. What am I explaining? Therefore, if the way you were thinking about your business, your life 4 years ago, is the same way you thought about it 3 years ago, and you heard that prophecy that I was talking about, then you maintain the same thought pattern. And next year you heard a prophecy. You maintain the thought pattern. The following year you heard another prophecy. That's why nothing has changed, because outwardly cannot change until inwardly changes. That's why Elihu taught the people of God to pray, that which I see not, teach thou me. He said, if I have done iniquity, listen, iniquity, I've told you before, I said, so David, Job was bragging. Tell me the day I took another man's wife. Tell me this one. Tell me that one. That's not what iniquity is. Iniquity is any thought pattern I have that is inferior to the one God says that you have. Let me say it like this. My desire to travel abroad may be iniquity. It may be. Meanwhile, for the person beside me, it's righteousness. Why? Because you look at it. What is pushing me? And God says, hey, this boy does not understand that security is not in places. That is in God. If you are in God, you are secure. Are you getting my point? So, because of that thinking pattern, the Bible says walking iniquity. The other day, the results came out. You know, I'm a university teacher. We did a test on my students, and the results came out. A lot of people didn't do well. So I was standing there when the students were passing to go and check their results. And one, well, a group of students came. I said, what did you get? I remember this particular young lady, she did not pass. So I said, what happened? No, there were two of them. There was one guy. I said, what happened? He said, I didn't finish. I said, why didn't you finish? He said, I guess I did not manage my time well. I asked that lady, what happened? The paper wasn't clear. You know, the way they printed it, next time they shouldn't print it like that. And then the number of questions is too plenty for the amount of time. Then she kept on talking. I said, don't worry. I said, don't worry. You know what we're going to do? Because of what you have said, I'm going to write a letter to the dean. Faculty board will sit on it. We'll forward it to Senate because of only you. You must be out of your mind. That was what I said to the young woman. I said, something must be wrong with you. I told that guy, I said, anytime you have a problem, walk into my office. If you have any issue, just walk to me. I said, even if you need money, come and see me. The friends laughed. And I talked to the young lady. I said, listen to me, okay? With this attitude, you're not going anywhere in this life. I said, have you noticed that everything has been, the paper is wrong, the numbers are too plain, the lecturers, they smoke, the way they mark it, they drink. Yeah. Nothing is wrong with me, everything is wrong with them. You forget that in the same test, somebody got 70-something. The same paper, the same smoking lecturers, the same drunk markers, the same everything. Are you getting what I'm saying? Seasons don't change except you look inward and say, I am the problem. You did your business, you didn't do well. Why? Everyone says NAFDAC, say, we should get NAFDAC number. Life has not been the same again. When PAC and Pooh prepared meter, my life just turned upside down. Water, once water is flowing in Enugu, that was the end of it. He said, why? Okay, no. I mean not water. Once they remove, what they call, subsidy from fuel, by the time you finish. You've talked all of that, you finish. Essentially, everything is wrong with everybody else. And that's why you are adversely affected. Hear ye the word of the Lord. You need one more year on that spot. Am I saying problems don't come in life? They do. They do. The other day, people will annoy me. I will shout. I used to do that. In fact, something happened the other day. Somebody parked somewhere. My wife was talking, why is it parking here? Why did they park like this? They didn't say anything. I got to another place. One guy was reversing anyhow. My wife started again. I said, baby, wait. It looks like the spirit that departed from me has entered into you. I said, this is the very thing I used to do. And I have repented before the Lord. Right now, I command you to repent and don't let it continue. I said, bus drivers are bus drivers everywhere. In Lagos, they are there behaving like they smoked. In Enugu, they are there with inferior quality smoke. Because Lagos was smoked more than until last man showed up, made everybody behave. I said, are you going to change them by getting angry? No. And I found out that I used to get angry a lot. There was a way the Lord pointed out to me. After that, God is my witness. I'm not lying to you. I do not repent of it every day. No. You get my point. Every day. There's no day I don't look back and I say, Lord, I'm sorry. That is, the problem is not how the people behave. The problem is that anger lies in the bosom of a fool. It's in his bosom. It's not outside. Are you getting my point? So there are issues outside. Things will always be available outside to prove to you that you are okay. Everybody else is crazy. You go to your office, of course, the boss is mad. The gate man is on drugs. The fellow that shares office with you, all right, all of them are on cocaine. Everybody is mad apart from you. You are the only righteous and godly person in that office. That is proof that you really now need deliverance that I said you did not need before. Are you getting my point? Elihu said, no one says, where is God my maker? He said, they cry because of the arm of the oppressor. They cry because of the things outwardly that's affecting them. But they don't say, where is God my maker? Listen, let me leave it there. The first thing we do, that's how you pray for change. Listen, you can't force change to come by, I command change, come now. You know what change we say? I started trying to come 5 years ago. Do you get my point? I've been trying to come before you started commanding. The problem is that there's no road to pass. So review. That's what we're going to do. Let us pray. Let's bow down. You don't need to stand up. Because you are going to do a lot of thinking. First of all, it's good. Let's thank God because it's important. You have blamed people too much and that one must come to an end. You can't be blaming people. You can't. First, thank God that you know you are delivered. That one is very important to say, Father, I thank you because I've been delivered. My warfare has been accomplished. It's ended. He says, speak kindly to Jerusalem. Comfort her. And the way you comfort her is by speaking kindly to her. So I'm giving you the comfort of God again today. He said, your warfare has ended. Your iniquity has been removed. In Jesus Christ, all the payment for your sins have been made. The power of death is sin. Curses come because of sin. Ancestral curses, hereditary curses, whatever be the problems, they come because of sin. Thank God because your warfare has ended. In Christ Jesus, you have been forgiven. He said, in whom we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You have been forgiven. People say, you may have been forgiven, but you can't change the consequence of the thing you did. It's not true. You can. God can. God can. No matter how bad it was, God can. He can't change the consequence. That's the meaning of forgiveness. If he cannot change the consequence, then the scripture that says he's able to save to the uttermost, then that scripture is a lie. The consequences can be changed. So thank God because you have been redeemed. Thank God because your warfare has ended. Thank God because the payment for your sins in Christ Jesus, it has been made. Thank him for that. Very important. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. He said, who forgives all your iniquities? Thank him. He said, Lord, I thank you because I have been forgiven. Lord, I thank you because I have been washed. Lord, I thank you because I have been redeemed. Lord, I thank you because I'm not the same anymore. I'm in Christ. I'm a new creature. All things are passed away. There has been a new creation. You have produced something new. Everything has become new. Therefore, I'm not a failure anymore. No, I know my great grandfathers may have been something. Doesn't matter. In Christ Jesus, I am new. I am not held down by the heredity. I am not held down by anything. No witch is controlling my life. No enemy can hold me down. I'm secure in God. My life is hid with Christ 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 in God. That's the first thing. Now, let's really do the review I talked about. Now, just look over your life. Now, only this is just between you and the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's not even now. It's just going to start. It will start now, but to continue when you get home. Take a piece of paper and start thinking. But it's a scripture. Let me just read it out. And you use this one to pray. Job chapter 34. Eli was speaking here. Let me read from my New American Standard. The prayer point here is very important. Because like I established, the glory of God wants to be revealed, but oftentimes there's no way. He said in verse 31, Job 34, has anyone said to God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend anymore. That, he said, teach thou me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more. Please, I want you to notice that. He said, teach thou me what I do not see. Teach thou me what I do not see. It's a very important prayer. Just for a moment, you look over your life and say, Lord, in all the things, because the Bible says that every man's way is right in his own eyes. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. So the fact that you think you are right doesn't mean you are right. It just means you are right in your own eyes. Therefore, you must pray this prayer. Say, Lord, that which I do not see, teach me. I pray this prayer all the time concerning the work I do as a preacher. Because I have ideas. You hear me share a lot of them. Some of them may not be perfect. I say, Lord, whatever it is that I am thinking and therefore doing that is preventing the advancement of the work that you have placed in my hand, reveal it to me. That's it. So that there's no problem with it, how to change it. This is the only way you change. Just say, Lord, it is wrong. This is what I have been doing, and I acknowledge that it is wrong. He said, only acknowledge your iniquity. That's what God says, and that's how he changes people. Therefore, begin to look over your life. How was I thinking 4 years ago? From the time I began to desire change, how was I thinking? Am I still thinking like that? I remember his sister that was my friend those days, the way she used to talk, I used to tell her, I say, okay, the way you talk, you can never get a good husband like this. I say, it's not possible. And he said, I'm cursing. I said, I'm not cursing you, I'm telling you the truth. I said, the way you think, no, it's not right. I said, that which I see not, teach thou me. There's an attitude that doesn't get you a good job. There's an attitude that does not bring customers to your office. There's an attitude. You don't even have to talk. It's a spiritual thing. Because angels are out there dragging things towards you. And evil spirits are there pushing them away from you. The one that's more powerful is the one you energize by your spirit. If your spirit is in tune with God, then you energize his power so that his angels bring good in your direction. Since you've been thinking or praying, asking for that change, have you changed the way you're thinking? How you're thinking about your work? Towards your parents, towards your friends, towards the nation, very important. How you are thinking about money, how you are even thinking about men of God, very, very crucial. How you are thinking about your neighbor, what's your attitude towards that money that you call yours? What's your attitude towards that certificate that you call your own? What's your attitude towards the security you have? There's a kind of passport you have to you think is a passport to breakthrough. And God has to explain to you that, listen, anybody focusing on this will only experience breakdown. And until it changes your thinking pattern in that area, you're not going anywhere. The way God deals with the children, you'll be surprised. Because he does. There are people who say that, no, the reason why I'm not ready to marry now is because I need to be able to stand tall in front of my father-in-law. So I need to make money first. God said, fine. Start. And the problem All the blessing he wants to give is that if I give it to this boy, he will use it to produce pride in his life. And it's not a good foundation. Let him learn to be humble. Let him receive favor from my hand. He must understand that without it, he can still get favor. And that single thing has held some people back. I said something to us before. I said the first thing God does to you as a blessing is to correct you. God does not bless you despite all your wrong behavior. No, 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 no. The first blessing is a correction of that wrong behavior. He wanted to bless Jacob. He sent him to the house of Laban so that the man would start supplanting. Jacob wanted the blessing, and God loved and respected him for that. God loved Jacob. He said, but Jacob, I can't bless you like this. I can't bless you like this. So let me send you to the house of a senior deceiver. So you know that deception is not good. When Jacob went before Pharaoh, he said, the years of my life have been full of sorrow. It's not because God designed sorrow for him. Oswald Chambers said that, were the sufferings of Jacob necessary for the inheritance? He said, no. But for Jacob, it was necessary. That is, if he had a different attitude, he would not have had to go for that length of time suffering in the house of Laban. You labor for a wife for 7 years, they give you the wrong girl that you did not like. At the end of 7 years, it's not funny. And you're stuck with her. And they say, okay, work another 7 years for another one. Then you work another 7 years for your labor, for your wages. How about 20 years? By the time the man came back, he was humble. You don't have to go through 20 years. You can sit down and pray. And the labor of 20 years is converted to a few minutes of prayer. The prayer is the prayer of repentance. Say, that which I see not, teach thou me. Everybody, me, everybody here, you must, because everybody must pray that prayer. You need it. You need it. Let's just give the Lord thanks. That's all we have for today in prayer. Say, Lord, I thank you. Don't forget, this is an ongoing thing. It's an end of year. We're beginning, you know. Here, we close at the end of November. So, we have a few more weeks till our meeting for this year is over. So, we're taking that time out to just learn these principles of change. First thing we have established, you are not cursed. Number two, review your life. Because except your thinking changes, your life cannot change. Father, we give you thanks for today. Once again, let's just worship him. Just say, Father, we thank you.